Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively waiting for the big football game right here. I broke out my baseball gear from Curio and Foreign Daughter because I couldn't find my, I don't know, I do a lot of yoga and laundry. I had the hex guy out. I can't find my I'm a Blunt Person shirt here, but I am looking forward to the purple shirts because I had one a number of years ago when we were on the Purple Festivus bandwagon. Wendy Bronfine joins us now. She will be participating, as will many, and this is sort of a little coming out party for our Crab Cake Row and our little Super Bowl week get together. We're hoping to put some charities together, and she joins us from time to time. And it's a new year, a new what are the new shirts coming out over at Foreign Daughter? I got this Move product I've been working on. Next time I'm in there, I want to see some purple up in Curio and Foreign Daughter.
So if when you walk in, the first table to the right has a bunch of merch on it. Usually, if they're in stock, there are the Purple Friday shirts there. We've had them since 2018 is something we do, has like a jersey look with our O on it. And then the we also have a merch shop. So via our website, we partner with Route One Apparel, and you can get merch on that site as well.
We like the merch you're wearing right there with the Maryland flag on it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you guys fly. Everybody should know that all of the cannabis industry, they're all state by state. Some have managed to work licenses in different places. I saw places pop up here that were name brands I had seen in Colorado years before. Just bring me in up to speed in 2024, because I got on with you and we talk a little rock and roll and we talk about how this product works and we talk about all sorts of things as sports and music. But, you know, for a new year, you said you were in Mississippi doing something. And I think of the Mississippi Delta Blues, you know, I think of Ole Miss and all that. And you're like, no, we're doing business down there. Everything about the cannabis industry, as we talked about with your dad last month with Gina Schock and your place up in 20, it's all sort of new. And I said, Mississippi, what are you doing down there? What are they doing in Mississippi we're not doing here in Maryland, Wendy?
So we, Foreign Daughter, which is our dispensary brand, store in Timonium, and we have a store up in Elkton, Maryland, and we created a franchise of that business, and our first franchisee launched in Mississippi yesterday. So I just got back from Mississippi yesterday. Such a cool experience. Her name is Sedaria Gray. The store is in Olive Branch, Mississippi. It's a great location. That community is medical only, so very similar to how we were in Maryland 7 years ago. So it's really exciting to see her take off. Lots of brands down there in Mississippi starting off as well. And it really was kind of sweet and nice to go back to those, to feeling like those early moments here in Maryland, right? Where, you know, the program is smaller. It, you know, it has its constraints being in that state of newness, you know, where everyone's trying to get comfortable with the idea that cannabis is an opportunity. But you know, you also have a lot of people who are really excited because it's right at the beginning and now they have access and patients can have their needs met. And so it was really awesome to be a part of that. We're really excited for Sedaria to get started. We actually created a fund that has over $20 million in it to help fund the startup of a franchise for women, minorities, and disabled veterans who are in our program. And Sedaria is one of those candidates. So this is not only the first franchise that we've opened, but it's also the first time the fund is supporting an individual. And we have somebody else in New Jersey who's working on getting their store up and running right now, too.
Listen, I don't know much, but I know that there was some disputing, and there's always going to be disputing. And we've talked about this from the beginning, from the federal government, Nixon, straight on, the whatever it is. But even when it came online and you were here, there were things in Annapolis about minorities, about people of color, about women, about equal opportunities for people to have a license, to be able to sell the product, given the history of the product, which we went through again. I would send anybody the piece we did last month with you and your dad. I listened to it in the car on the way up to do a show 2 weeks ago. And I was listening during the holidays. I'm like, that's a really good segment. Learned a lot. But the part where in the new places, you're now the one place that's actually doing real products and doing real medicine and doing real research and all of the parts that you've talked about. What What happened and what's the upshot of this? Because I know you're really proud of this. I mean, it's the lead story for you in 2024 is, hey, we're doing other good things with everything we said we were going to do in regard to, especially with women. You're a woman, and it was this whole concept was sort of yours that people would that this wasn't going to be an old, quite frankly, white money thing that and was gonna that it was going to be locked out for everybody, that it's been more inclusive, and you've been a part of that over the last couple of years.
Yeah, so I mean, cannabis industry has a lot of financial constraints to it, right? So because it's Schedule One, there's no banking access in a traditional manner, right? So you need private money to start it, which is one of the biggest hurdles that begins the process. Then you have something called 280E, which is a part of the tax code that means that it creates a heavy, very heavy tax burden on cannabis businesses. And you cannot get funding from any kind of outside traditional methods. So that contributes to the lack of diversity that exists
I can't just
because
go down to the
it's
bank and
always
say I
mixed.
want to open a place and I'm going to go into business. That it's not normal like that if I had a regular business, an old school business, right?
Correct.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So that's off the table. So if it's traditionally hard for women, minorities, and other groups to get capital to start a business, it's even harder in cannabis because that's not even an option in the first place. So when we decided to franchise the retail store, our dispensaries, that's when we also decided to create this fund so that we could solve sort of two problems, if you will. One, we were expanding the opportunity for people to be in the industry and give them that toolkit, right? It's not an easy business to run. It has a lot of moving parts that are different than traditional retail because of its Schedule One status and its highly regulated status and the nuance of the regulations changing by state. And then you would, and then getting the capital to start it and to sustain it makes it very difficult. So we created this fund that has upwards of 40% diverse individuals invested in the fund to then invest in women, minority, and disabled veterans to start this store and then use the profits of the store to pay off the loan. And that loan has to be, they have to be exiting from the loan structure in as early as 3 years or as many as seven. So it's really just a Kickstarter. And then you're a traditional franchisee, just like a Subway or a McDonald's or something like that. So we were really looking to sort of expand the opportunities of independent ownership in our industry and solve this finance problem because it's not being solved by the federal government. We don't have safer banking. We haven't gotten rid of 280E. So how could we have a private solution that could really change the course of the industry?
Man, there's a lot of directions I'm going here. She's our chief cannabis officer. She's the chief brand officer at Curio and Far and Daughter. You've been over to Timonium. So I want to just jump in on Far and Daughter as a concept of a place that I found 5, 6 years ago. Massage, wavy gravy music, selling holistic things, and sort of some somewhat GNC-ish kind of thoughts about holistic things with a cannabis dispensary in the back for medical, with a classroom setting on the side. You know, fast forward 6 years, you can see what it is now. We did the show there last month. You can see that it's adult use and people can come in now. Lots of different people come in lots of different ways. Still massage, still all the things that were there. When someone comes and sees your place, and maybe you said Starbucks or you said Subway or McDonald's, I don't know what the first ones of those. I've been in the original Starbucks in Seattle, as opposed to what it became and what any sort of the virgin experience of this is our flagship first store, and we're going to become a franchise in the franchise business. How will the one in Mississippi look or be different than the vision you have here? Because I don't think you got into this to do two or three. I think this is something that you're obviously, and I've been through your facility last year, very serious about. But as far as what the first Starbucks looks like or McDonald's or something for what you're trying to do with what it is, I'm not even sure that anybody knows. It's such a new industry, but the things you have there, it feels to me like your Timonium Far and Daughter that everybody drives by across from the Nautilus, that's a little bit of a showroom for what you feel like the future is going to be in lots of different ways and lots of different places, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So we consider the Timonium store like you said, one, it's that flagship store. Also, it's like that testing ground, right? Like if there's a new product we want to carry in the front or service or something like we're going to test and try everything in Timonium before we export it to any other store. But because cannabis is so nuanced in each state, the store itself becomes molded to the regulations in a given state. So for example, in the Mississippi store, it's a smaller footprint than what we have in Timonium. They cannot in their regulations have something like our wellness shop that's in the front, right? The holistic pharmacy that we call it. So they can't sell sort of this traditional retail area and then have a dispensary.
They're only a cannabis dispensary, correct?
They're only a cannabis dispensary. Now in their dispensary, they could sell things like, you know, stuff to store your cannabis in, rolling papers and trays and paraphernalia, but they can't sell hemp-based CBD, right? So like we pride ourselves at our stores to have kind of a very curated hemp-based CBD collection, where that's become very pervasive and very questionable what you're finding in different places. And so we've really vetted the CBD lines that we carry.
Yeah, I go by gas stations that have CBD, and I'm like, no. You, right? I mean, that it goes back to what you and your dad have talked about, trust, right? And reliability, and like make sure you're getting like the real thing. You're not buying something off the streets, right? I mean, literally.
Right, exactly. So they're really, it's very centrally focused on the cannabis. So it's much more traditional in the sense of, it looks just like our store. It has the same kind of look and feel, but you're entering, you're checking in as a patient, you're being called into the dispensary, and you're being able to buy cannabis or supporting cannabis paraphernalia. And that's sort of the scope of what you can do in Mississippi.
So where else, other places, I think I knew you know, you had said to me there were a couple of states that were sort of coming online. I know other people in your industry, Eugene Monroe, former Raven player, told me Massachusetts, Jersey, different places. And there's a minority investment and football money and somebody that was in a lot of pain. And anytime I talk to him, he talks about what I've learned with this product here. But for the ambition of all of this is to rule the world, like, you know, like all that. But I think there's one step at a time from state by state as places go on, that, as you said, this is a tremendous opportunity in regard to science, in regard to medicine, in regard to all sorts of things that eliminate the old taboos that our grandparents had. But state by state, everything's coming in. How? I haven't done the math on this lately. Once it came here, it didn't matter who's got it, where it is. I mean, me and my sister-in-law is like in Massachusetts because she's in New Hampshire, and Massachusetts was sort of, they opened the doors there kind of quickly. Well, I'm into mobile wagering because of what I do with the lottery, and it's been watching both of these sort of parallel universes of how are we going to handle this, regulate it, and really have oversight so that we're not having bad things being sold. But state by state, what are you seeing in regard to 6-7 years ago when you got into this to where it is now, where Mississippi, that feels pretty red to me. Feels like if you're in Mississippi, you can almost probably go anywhere. What's next? I guess Utah, right? But there's a handful of places still no. But where's the curio opportunity for you and your family for a Maryland business?
So obviously we're very much focused here in Maryland, where we started and where we've just transitioned to adult use only, you know, shy of 6 months ago. We, in addition to that, to the Mississippi franchise store opening, having its grand opening yesterday, we were given our approval to begin production in Missouri earlier this week. And so we've been building out a facility there for manufacturing and cultivation, and manufacturing was finished. And so we can soon begin production there. And then cultivation will be ready later this year.
So that mirrors what you did in Timonium, right? So you're basically taking what you did in Timonium and building that in Missouri someplace, right?
Exactly. Yeah, in the suburbs of St. Louis, Missouri. And then we're also looking at other states. I'll call it on the eastern side, you know, let's call it east of Michigan, so to speak, right? We don't really look out to western opportunities, but states on this side of the country where we can continue to expand and bring our products and services.
Has it made it easier getting into state B or C or D or E, running a clean show here and doing things the right way? I mean, the credit that when you're applying for a license, it's sort of, I think the same thing about the I keep comparing it to sports wagering, but when the big casinos came in, they were it was so much easier for them to operate because they knew what they were doing, as opposed to somebody saying, I'm going to bootstrap this, which goes back to the beginning of how hard this, any of these industries are to break in. Sounds like a great idea. I'll just get into it. And then you realize it's really amazing what you guys have done to be pioneers in all of this.
Well, so Missouri is interesting because Missouri is already existing, right? So when we started in Maryland, we were here at the beginning when everyone started. So we were all at the same time growing our businesses. In Missouri, that industry has been around for a number of years now, and we're I think the only, if among a few, who are new and entering right now. So this is a different sort of experience for us in entering a market that is already existing and having to introduce ourselves and kind of win over the patients and customers. But we're very excited to do that because I think, to your point, when you talk about Move or the terpene chews or Good Night or Good Day or our GI products, like there's nothing like that in the state. So the fact that we can bring our chews that are so well liked here and our flower that's award-winning and our vapes that come from the same great strains, like all that stuff, we can bring there and bring a high quality. We're GMP there, just like we are here, which is very, very rare in that state to have that level of production quality and rigor. But then to have all the differentiated products that we do, I think is going to help make a mark pretty quickly in Missouri.
Well, yeah, far be it for me to like be an endorser of anything or a social influencer in any way, but you gave me this sort of on the way out the door because I had asked you. I'm holding up the Move product. I was with you and Gina. Gina was talking about being a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame drummer and showing me all of her surgeries and scars to her hands and her fingers and talking drumming with your father. And on the way out, I'm like, I need to get some new balm. And I had a product that was just, quite frankly, out of date. I mean, it smelled a little funky because it had been like 2 years old. It was ready to go. And I'm like, I don't know that it's even effective anymore. I need something fresh. My back, no joke. Everybody knows my back. I talk about it all the time in my chiropractor, but just L3, L4, and just having a product that I've been like rolling this on for whatever it's been, 3 weeks.
Oh, wait.
And my knee, I've had a little knee issue for a knee surgery back in 06. And I'm having a little swelling and inflammation behind my right knee, which is, I went to PT 2 weeks ago. You're going to like this one. Kids there. And I said, yeah, my knee screwed up. I'm walking like John Wayne. And the kid said to me, who's that? I said,
Oh, Lord.
and I'm like, I'm walking like John Wayne. I'm in pain. I look like I got shot in my knee. So I need something. So this Move product, you gave me this, and in conjunction with yoga, PT, stretching, all of that, I find it fascinating. You hand me something like this, and I take it out, and I'm like, I really scientifically, like I own a radio station. I don't really know how it works. I don't know how the beams go out in your car. I don't really know how it works. And I think to myself, how many times I took an Advil or a Buffer, and I don't really know. Just take two of them. My mom told me, take this or whatever, rub that on it or, spit on it or whatever you do. But this here, explain to me this product because you were like, this is different because this is sort of transdermal and you rub it here, it's going to be in your bloodstream. Why does this ease me? And in the morning, and this is Scout's honor, I wake up and I'm a little stiff. I'm 55. I wake up, I'm a little like, I got to move a little bit to move a little bit to feel well, crack myself out because my cat's been between my legs. And in the morning, I'm like, it's going to be an Advil day. It's going to be something. I need some sort of anti, I'm going to need something today. And I've been banging this on in the morning, and I can feel it a little bit pasty later in the day that it feels like it's still on me. Where when I had oils or different things that sort of absorb a little differently, that I feel like it's still influencing me. But I put it on, and it's, I don't know, it's today we're taping, it's 11 in the morning, and I haven't thought about my back in 5 or 6 hours. And I don't know what
Love
magic's
that.
working, but I don't know what magic's working, and I couldn't explain it to anybody. I can't. I'm asking you to explain it because I can't explain it. And what is this, by
So,
the way?
okay. So that's it's called Move. That's our topical line. There's two types of product in it, topical and transdermal. So topical is on more of a superficial layer of your skin. So think about like just using like a Vaseline or a Bengay or something that you just rub in or a lotion, right? And
Which
it's
we're all
getting at those
familiar
upper
with, right? Like, and
layers.
we're like, and a lot of folks are like, now how does the green plant with the leaves that I used to see at the Spencer's at the mall, like how does that become, and I guess that's the magic and the science of the plant, right? And cannabinoids and all of these things that you're trying to educate me, some days better than others.
Well, so that formula has a 1-to-1 ratio of CBD to THC. THC is typically good for pain and CBD for inflammation. So, those body aches you're talking about kind of touch on both areas. And when you have The product that you're showing, when you take and you open it up, it's a roller. So like you're applying it kind of like a deodorant. But what you mentioned before about where you apply it, that's the difference between topical and transdermal. So if you're using the topical product, you'd say, oh, my shoulder's achy, and you'd rub it right there. Now, when you have a transdermal, you can put it where it hurts, but you can also put it where you're veiny. Like if you have veins in your wrist, the top of your hand, the top of your feet, because it's going to penetrate deeper. And so if you put it where you're veiny, it's moving into your blood system, and then it's moving through your body to where you need it.
My
And
real life
so
part is I
that's
stare at the screen all day, whether I'm with you or without you, right? Like I'm like a U2 song. I stare at the screen whether I'm doing video, radio, audio, podcast, whatever the kids are calling it these days. People say, "What do you do?" Oh, I'm a podcaster. That doesn't sound like nearly as cool as being a radio guy, which sounds makes me old. But either way, my neck is always in here, and I have found this to be something like sometimes I'll just like just get it up on my neck and it makes my neck that's really been even more so maybe than my back the last month is that my neck has felt a lot more limber and I don't feel as tight from being on screens as so many people are all day. We're all on screens.
Oh yeah, I mean, my husband and I are topical junkies. We each have our own. Like we're using, I mean, whether we use it post-workout, pre-workout, achiness from life. I mean, I'm the biggest proponent of topicals because the other part is whether it's topical or transdermal, there's no psychoactivity, right? So it gets rid of your discomfort and you have no, there's no high issue to it. It's just getting rid of pain and inflammation.
I
So,
haven't taken an
I mean,
Advil in a
that's,
couple
I
of
think, the
weeks, and
net.
that's got I haven't. I really haven't. I haven't taken an Advil in a couple of weeks, and I'm not an Advil junkie. I'm a, you know, one day a week, one or two or three, if I really need to loosen something up. But I'm trying everything to stay away from any of that. It's not good for your liver. It's not good for your. I know all of that. That this has been a product for a couple of weeks. I'm digging, and I think people would dig it if they go try it. So go give it a try. You can find it over Far and Daughter. Wendy Bronfine is here. She's our chief cannabis officer, trying to educate us. She's chief brand officer, and dare I say founder, because I, you know, Dad pointed at you like you soft sell your whole role in all of this until I get your dad next to you a little bit, right?
Yeah,
What
and
are
I
you
will write soon.
working on this year? Give me a beginning of the year sort of update because you do come on the show once a week, but you're always getting pulled out of something that, I mean, really serious things and lots of moving parts going on with your with a growing local business.
Yeah, well, so we got, some projects in new states coming on. Here in Maryland, just the same as we talk about Maryland, the store being the proving ground for different concepts on the retail. Same thing with our cultivation and manufacturing. So new products that we could come out with will hit here first, right? We'll test them out here. So some different products that we're looking at to come out this year from our manufacturing team, right? Places where could be kind of new forms of chews and vapes, new products for new audiences. We have some women's products that we're looking at to develop. Expanding our pre-roll offerings. We've got some special things coming out next month, a la Valentine's Day and everything sexy about that. So definitely stuff for the Maryland market, whether you're a patient or a lifestyle adult use consumer. Our legislative session is going to kick off very soon next week here in Maryland. In the changeover from medical to adult use, the program had a much more restrictive approach to advertising. So we're going to be strongly advocating to return to the freedoms that we had when we were medical only. I think that the awareness of the adult use program is not as prolific as it was assumed to be. And I think that a lot of that is attributed to the fact that there's a lack of ability to advertise and make people aware of it. And then on the federal side, really working to right the issues of our industry economically. I don't think legalization is going to come anytime soon for our industry, but if we can get banking, if we can open capital markets, deal with 280E, that really normalizes our existence. It also really helps facilitate what states are looking to do with social equity programs, because that idea of generational wealth creation could really happen if these punitive taxes are removed, if people can use banks, if capital markets are open so that they can secure money to start businesses. That just normalizes who we are. So I think that's really what we need on a federal level now more than ever.
To say you are a legitimate business, treat you like one, right? I mean,
Right.
that's li literally. I have a feeling that the week that we do our little Super Bowl crab cake row week, it's the week before Valentine's Day. You're going to come out with charities. You're involved with Living Classrooms, with the Associated. You've given me a whole list of people, and we're going to be doing this special thing. It's the first time I've really talked about it on the air is with you here. I'll be talking about it more when I'm like ready to let the cat out of the bag fully. But I have a feeling it's going to be like this sex education class that week when you're talking about because you're getting the way you're like our products. There's some things here. So is that a pre to Valentine's Day? Is that what we're going to be doing?
Oh, for sure. But also, I will give you a teaser right now. So we grow the strain called Golden Strawberry since the beginning. And there started to be this chatter around the office. I mean, we were a really small team then when we first grew it from men that it was like Viagra-like. And I'm going to be real TMI here. So at
No,
some
no, no,
point,
no, no, no. We're all grown-ups here for the most part.
okay. So
We're all
my
grown-ups. I'm
husband,
kidding. Yes,
yeah.
we're all.
My husband and I were both patient, are both patients, and so I never told him about this whole thing with the golden strawberry. But we had it, and he had some that was flour, and did what we were going to do. And I asked him the next day what he thought about it, and he completely validated, and in my experience, I agree, validated what these rumors were. So we then kind of created this sub-brand
Is
called
this like
O, like.
oysters, like back at the Bull Roast 30, 40
I
years, you
mean,
know? Come
but
on.
like, so we had, so back in, this is early medical and days, there was an older couple who would come to the dispensary and they would come, they bought, oh, I don't know if they bought flower or vape, but they bought one of them. They were little, frisky little old couple. They would tell us about why they loved the product, come in to get it. I mean, so we ended up kind of, we had enough kind of anecdotal feedback from people
Hold on one
that
second. Golden strawberry, honey. Okay, I just make sure this yell. Let's make sure she
So,
knows.
like for men, it was giving this Viagra-like effect. And for women, it was giving this like heightened sensitivity and like mentally relaxing effect. So the two together in that kind of combination was very effective. But no matter how you do it or who you do it with, I think everybody likes it. We're gonna have a lot of O is the line, OH. You can figure out why it's called that. Is going to have its a special moment in February, but Golden Strawberry.
Okay. All right. So it's a little bit like when Harry met Sally. I'll have what she's having,
Yes,
sort of
it,
thing.
100%. Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, I can't wait to hear more about this. We're going to build a whole segment around that. Wendy Bronfine is here. She's our chief cannabis officer. Very proud to be opening in Olive Branch, Mississippi. I had to figure out if I've ever been to Olive Branch, Mississippi. I have on the way to Oxford, Mississippi, coming out of Memphis Airport. So it is a Memphis
Yeah.
suburb on the 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock beltway of the southeast side of Memphis in the great state of Mississippi. And I've been to Oxford. I'll tell you that story one day. I got flown out in a private plane. It was a whole thing. I ate barbecue at the place Elvis loved. So I did all of that Mississippi stuff. I even brought my blue suede shoes and boarded the plane. So
So
I did all that.
we ate, I have to plug this. So we ate dinner at this restaurant in Memphis. On Wednesday night, called the Beauty Shop. I didn't get there in time to go to Graceland, which is what I wanted to do. So this was like my next best thing because it was rumored that this restaurant back in the day was a place that Priscilla went to, and it has like all this stuff in there that still feels like a beauty shop from like, I don't know, like 70 years ago or so. And the food was fantastic. It was super cool. So if you're in the Memphis area, I recommend the Beauty Shop.
I've only been to Memphis one time in my life. It's when the Ravens played at the Liberty Bowl, the one season the Tennessee Oilers played over there before when they moved from Houston. It was 1997. One time in, one time, but there were 5,000 people at the game. It was one of those things. But we ripped it up that weekend. There was a casino. Mississippi had Tunica, and we went over. We watched games. We went back. But I've never been back. Southwest Airlines didn't fly there, and they never played football there again. Memphis played football there. All right, Wendy Bronfman is here, chief brand officer of all things Curio Wellness. I recommend the Move product. I'm on this, so we'll be talking more about that. And she visits every week or two. We have some fun. Hey, next time you come back, Ravens might be going to the Super Bowl, right? Everybody's excited about this in Timonium, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I know. We have a board meeting today, which I this whole morning when I was getting dressed, I was very conflicted because I had no way to be Purple Friday in like in a dressed up way. And I was like, am I going to jinx the weekend game because I can't Purple Friday it? But
doesn't matter.
I'm
This
going to
weekend
change it
doesn't matter. No. We put it away 2 weeks from now, bring it out and go three times. And we need to get through this thing here. So lots of football ahead. Lots of great conversations. We call them wise conversations around here because we try to learn stuff around here and have a little bit of fun mixing in with our football, our politics, our charity, our community, all that stuff. It's a new year, doing lots of good stuff. We're going to have tons and tons of great NFL guests all week long here. Looking forward to the playoff games, the rise of Joe Flacco, and where Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and all the rest of these guys stand in the way of Lamar Jackson and our next game next weekend, and then getting on to the championship game, hopefully, and fingers crossed. Luke is all reserved in Las Vegas for Super Bowl week activity. We're reserved to do some charity work I'll be telling you more about in the coming weeks. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.